key new physicians there that for them to be able to spend time with their spouse or to spend time with their kids, the mom would actually call and make an appointment during their normal office hours. So they would take an appointment space up on their schedule to be able to bring their kids in so the dad could see their kids.
This is the Imperfect Dad MD podcast, where I'm helping dads, like myself, embrace their parenting imperfections and rediscover what it means to be a dad in the 21st century.
This is the Imperfect Dad MD podcast. I am your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel. I am a board-certified pediatrician, husband, and father of two wild and crazy boys, and in today's episode, I am going to talk about time management as a dad, as a parent, and how to balance that with work and with life in general. But before we get into it, I just want to remind you that if you haven't yet, please subscribe to the podcast. That way you'll get notified every time I come out with a new episode so you don't miss an episode there. And if you haven't left a review, I really appreciate the reviews. I'm still growing. I'm still learning with this stuff. And I want you guys to help me out too by leaving reviews. Let me know what I did well with. And if there's something you think I can fix, send me a message. Send me an email. I promise I'm going to get those messages a lot faster if you email me. And you can email me at imperfectdadmd@gmail.com or go to my website at www.imperfectdadmd.com and you can send me a message there too. But I love to hear from people. I want to know how I can make these things better. But if you do get a lot out of these episodes, or even if you're getting a little bit, leave a review. And the higher reviews that you leave, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leaving those 5-star reviews, it really gets this message spread out there to other dads, and hopefully we can help more people that way. But with that said, let's get into it. So when I talk about work-life balance, it's a pretty touchy subject with some people. You know, being in medicine, it's not always easy to find that work-life balance. As a physician, really, we're trained from, I guess you'd even say college, to solely focus on school, solely focus on work, solely focus on your studies and this and that. Because in school, you have to do your best completely. And any little slip-up causes you to potentially not be able to move on in life. You know, if you get a B in that class in college instead of an A, that can affect your chances of getting into a medical school. If you do something wrong on a rotation, or you say something that's not exactly right to an answer that another physician asks you during rounds or something like that as a resident or as a med student, you may not get into the residency you want. And then when you're looking for jobs, you gotta bust your butt to keep going and keep doing what you're doing. And depending on what your job is, what your work is, if you're planning on moving up the ranks or whatever that might be, you got to put your nose to the grindstone and just keep going and going. And that's not obviously just the medicine thing. You see that with business, you see it with law, you see it with, you know, trade school. I mean, you got to work your way up the ranks there too. So, I mean, there's all kinds of jobs that do this. And so the problem there is you're spending all your time doing all this work and all this focus and things like that. And then there's other people at home, if you're a parent. And how do you bring them into the mix? How do you include them into your life's ambitions and into your life's work? You know, sometimes people think of the word life's work and they totally focus on their career. What did you do for work? What was your job title? What was the salary? What did you make? Did you get any cool benefits or bonuses? And that's your life's work. But we don't always take our family into that consideration. We don't always think about, well, was I a good parent? Was I a good spouse? Was I a good child? Did I call my parents regularly, or should I have, and all that? But think of that. Think how you define your life's work. And does your family get included in that? And I think that's an important question. You know, we did an interview with my friend Kyle Barger, and he's now residing in Columbus, Ohio. And as he mentioned, he's done a lot of stuff in business. But he talked about that struggle. He talked about finding that balance, you know, between doing all these great things with work, but, you know, when you're then you have your kids and your family and you're trying to incorporate everything together, you got to work on it. It's not easy. It doesn't come natural. We're not trained on how to do that. And when you think about our parents and maybe how your dad was, they were probably very work-focused. you know, the generation before them, very worked focused. Again, when you listen to my interviews, you listen to when I talked to my dad on the interview, and that would have been about episode 4. He talked about how, you know, when he was growing up, the dad's job was work. You work, you provided for the family, and that's what you did. That was it. And that was your sole focus. And nowadays, we're not there. That's not where a lot of it is. And now maybe, I guess, you know, we're all in different life situations. So maybe for you and your life situation, that is how it is. But in a lot of cases, it's just not anymore. And so we have to work on this work-life balance, this time management balance. What are we doing at home versus at work, outside of work, with our friends, you know, recreation, all that stuff. And how does that all fit into 24 hours of a day? You know, like I said, when my dad was a doctor, obviously he's still referred to as a doctor, even though he's retired. But when he was a doctor and he was younger and they lived out in San Diego, you know, he would tell me stories about how the doctors that he knew were so busy with work. They literally lived at work. You know, the term resident is used because back in the day, when you were a resident, your job was to live at the hospital and you worked at the hospital. And that was your life for that time period during your training. And we don't do that anymore as residents, but that was the concept then. And so, you know, when he was working, that concept still carried on when he became an attending, when he became a full-fledged physician. And he knew physicians there that for them to be able to spend time with their spouse or to spend time with their kids, the mom would actually call and make an appointment during their normal office hours. So they would take an appointment space up on their schedule to be able to bring their kids in so the dad could see their kids. I mean, that just blows my mind. Now, back then, that was probably considered normal and probably considered part of how it is. But when you think of today and how we view that, some of you might just be shaking your head like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. But that's just how things have changed, really just within a generation. Things have changed. So one thing you got to keep in mind when you're doing time management, the first thing that you have to recognize is your time is your time. If I was typing this out, the word your would be capitalized because it only you can decide what's important and what's not important in your life to make time for it. You know, when you talk to people that discuss time management, it's always the same, you know, we all have the same 24 hours in a day and you got to decide what's important, what's not important. And that is true. Obviously, we all have the same 24 hours, but we all also have different life situations. Our jobs might take up more hours in the day. Our commute might take up more hours. You may have health issues that take up time in your day. Your sleep schedule might be different. Gosh, no, I could use a lot more sleep in my day, but I have to find balance there too. And so remember that your time is your time. And no one else can path that out for you. No one else can figure out what the right time spent is for you other than you. So my first step would be just make a list. Write down what are the things that are truly important to you and be honest. You can be brutally honest with yourself. If work is the most important thing to you, write it down. If family is the most important thing, write it down. If being a good husband or a good father is the most important thing, write it down. But make sure you're not writing it down because you want it to be that way. Make sure you're writing it down about how you truly feel. And look at it and review it and figure out, okay, this is how I wrote it down. Is this how I truly feel? Now, maybe that's not actually where you want to be. Maybe you are somebody who says, you know, my business is my most important thing to me. But as you're writing this thing down and you're looking down your list, you're finding that anything relating to maybe your family, your kids is a lot further down the list. And you're recognizing that and you're saying, oh my gosh, I got to change this. This is not good. Well, that's good that you recognize it now. And now you can make changes to fix that. But maybe your family and your kids are at the top of the list. That's great. Maybe they're somewhere in the middle. I can't answer that for you and I can't make that decision for you. But look and see where your balance is right now in terms of importance. And then write down your daily schedule. If it's got to be by the hour, by the minute, whatever it is for you, write it down and see how you're spending that time. And if you're not sure, start keeping a journal for a week. I honestly keep it for a week. And make that journal, write it out, and see where you're spending time. If you need to record how much time you're spending on your phone on social media, keep that recorded on your phone. If you need to see how much time you're spending watching Netflix, keep that recorded on your phone. Anything, write it down and see where you're spending that time. Because a lot of times when the day is done and you get home or you're sitting there in bed, you're like, gosh, I had so much stuff I wanted to do and I have no clue where the day went. That's because we don't always recognize what we're doing with our time. So make that list, 7 days, write it all out and see what you're doing with that time. And then look at it and look at your list of priorities and ask yourself, do these match up? Does this make sense to me? And if it doesn't, you got some work to do. And that's okay, because we all can do a little bit better with our time management. Now, one thing that happens to me in medicine and in my job, I work for a children's hospital, and there's always a committee or something to volunteer for or something to do there. And if you know me, I like to volunteer for things. I like to be involved. I like to have a say in things. I didn't used to be that way, but I am now. And in college, I started to get that way. And then it kind of grew from there. And sometimes one committee is just too many committees, because now it's, well, now I got this meeting and now I have that meeting and I got to go listen to this and I go talk to that. And now I just got to take up this time. And all of a sudden you're so busy planning those things out that they're taking over the things that really matter. And so one thing that a lot of people talk about is this concept of not agreeing to do something unless you want to say hell yes to it. And I recently, I've heard this concept a few times, but it more recently came up listening to a physician. His name is Dr. Jimmy Turner. He is an anesthesiologist by trade, but he also does some coaching with physicians, and he's got a podcast. He's got a couple, actually, but on his most recent podcast that he did called the Physician Philosopher Podcast, it was episode number 20. He talks about this in detail. So if you're really interested in this, I recommend you go listen to his podcast. It's great. And it's a good topic, but really just kind of in a nutshell, it is don't agree to do something unless it makes you say hell yes. If you're just saying yes because you feel like you should, or you're like, oh, maybe that'd be kind of cool, then probably don't say yes to it. Because what's going to probably happen is, number one, you're not going to be excited when it's time to do it. But you may feel like you got to stick with it because you've said yes to it. And now it's going to take up your time to plan. It's going to take up your time to get organized. It's going to take up the time that maybe you got to drive somewhere to have a meeting or get on your computer now, I guess, and have a meeting. But it's going to take up more of your day and more of your time and more of your kind of mental, I guess, well-being or anything along those lines. And it's not going to be worth it in the end. So remember that. If you're not going to say hell yes, don't say yes at all. You know, like I said before, people really like to compare their time to other people's time. And again, this whole concept of we all have the same 24 hours in the day is absolutely true. And if you need to move things around to make time for the thing that's a priority, that's important. But, you know, one of the things I really am not a huge fan of people saying is, you know, you have the same 24 hours as Oprah has, or you have the same 24 hours as Jeff Bezos has, or whomever. Pick some super high successful person and say, you have the same 24 hours as them, but they made it happen. Why can't you? Well, yes, they made it happen. But most likely they made choices that affected family life in some way. You know, Oprah is totally open and has done a lot of interviews on the fact that she chose not to get married and not to have children. And she's totally fine with that. She's content with that decision, and that's great. She knows what she wants, and she knows what she doesn't want. And if you're a parent, you know how much time having kids and having a spouse or having a significant other takes in your day, as it should. It should be a priority to you. And so when someone tells me why I have the same amount of time as Oprah does, well, yes and no. Because I have different priorities in my life than she did. And that's okay, because we all have different priorities. But when I'm saying, well, if you're telling me I have the same 24 hours as her, well, okay, well, I'm going to take her 24 hours. And now let's add in that time you spent with your kids and the time that you helped them on their homework and the time you took them to the baseball game or to swimming or whatever it might be. And then that time that you wanted to spend an hour or two with your spouse in the evening because you can finally spend time together. Well, now I don't have that same amount of time. And I can't go back and say, well, I'm going to take all that family time out and I'm going to put it all towards business or whatever, because that doesn't make any sense. You know, you see a lot of these high income earners, I don't know anything about their family lives, like, you know, Jeff Bezos and those, I don't know anything, but a lot of them, I mean, when you look at it, you wonder how their family life is. And in some cases you see, you know, of course, if they're high priority people or highly recognizable, everybody seems to know everything going on in their lives. And a lot of times you hear about their divorces and their problems at home and things like that. And you have to ask yourself, is this because when they made their list of priorities, family really wasn't up there? And again, I don't know these people. I don't know if that's the case. But when you make that list and you decide what is a priority to you, if your family's up there, it's going to be up there. And that's going to create some things to shift down. And that's totally fine. Because if that's your priority in life, then that's great for you. And that's what you need to focus on. Now, again, I've said all this, and I'm not telling you that if your family's not top priority for you, then you're a terrible person. Please don't take that away from this. We all have different priorities in life and different decisions that we make. And so if your business is up there, if your job's up there, if something else is up there, being the best, you know, ballet dancer, whatever it might be, I don't know. Great. That is yours. But then own it. Make sure that whoever is raising your children with you understands that. And make sure they're on board with it, because if they're not, you're going to be up for a rude awakening at some point here. And it's going to cause a lot of conflict at home. So, you know, if this is something, an exercise you need to do with your spouse and make these lists together, or your significant other, or you're planning on having kids, make these lists together and see how they mesh up. And I guarantee you over time, these lists are going to change. You know, if business and work is a very high priority to you now, when you retire, it's not going to be a high priority to you, I assume. And hopefully at that point, your high priority is going to be your family. But if you didn't put that investment in early on in life or earlier in your career with the family, you may not be getting to spend as good time with them as you wanted to in your retirement, because you may have burned some bridges. You may have caused some conflict, and maybe it's not as fun as you liked it, thought it would be. You know, and the business and money world and all these groups I've been a part of online, they frequently bring up this story. It's called The Fisherman and the Businessman. And it can be used for various purposes. You know, if you want to talk about money and finances and creating a business and how much is too much money and blah, blah, blah. If you want to do that, that's fine. But I really like to look at it as a family approach. So the story goes like this. And I'm going to paraphrase it. It's probably not exactly how other people tell it, but this is how I'm going to tell it. So there's a wealthy businessman. He finally retired. He's maybe in his 70s or something like that. And he retires to a small, you know, coastal village down in the Caribbean or Central America, wherever it might be. And this was his dream. He wanted to retire to a place like this, be able to sit, relax, spend time with his family. And that was his goal. And he's sitting there having his, you know, mid-morning breakfast or tea or whatever you want to call it. And he looks out to the docks and there's a fishing boat that pulls up, and it's, you know, kind of a modest sized fishing boat, nothing exciting about it. And this man walks out of it and he's carrying, you know, six of these huge, beautiful fish. They are just some of the best that he's seen caught since he's been living here. And he's like, wow, that's impressive. So he gets curious and he flags the man down and he says, hey, those are some great looking fish. Like, did you get lucky today? What happened? He's like, oh no, this is pretty common. You know, we've lived here forever and I know the great fishing spots. And, you know, usually every day I go out, I go out in the morning, I get five or six of these and I come back and then I, you know, take four of them, sell them at the market. And then I take two home to my family and, you know, I get to, you know, have them with my family. We could have a big meal. We have a big family and I get to spend the rest of the day spending time with them and we cook them up, have a big meal and, you know, we dance and listen to music at night and we get to do it every day and it's wonderful. And the businessman's looking at these fish and he's like, you have something great here. You need to build on this. And the fisherman kind of looks at him and he's like, oh, really? What do you mean? And the businessman goes, well, I mean, these fish are beautiful. They're the best that I've seen caught and you could sell these for so much money. And if you know these spots, if you spent more time out there in the water, then you could be making more money. And the fisherman goes, oh, really? Then what do I do next? And he goes, well, when you're making more money, then you can get a bigger boat and you can hire some hands and they can help you. Then you can get more fish and then you can get more money about these fish. And the fisherman's like, oh, well, great. What do I do next? And he goes, okay, well, then you can buy more boats and you can kind of have like a little fleet of ships here. And then you can sell those fish and you'll be making even more money. And the fisherman says, oh, great. What do I do next? And then the businessman says, well, then you build up just this fishing empire in this area and you will have wealth beyond your wildest dreams. And you'll be so successful with this business. And the fisherman goes, oh, great. What do I do next? And then the businessman says, well, once you've built up this successful empire and you've made all this money, you find somebody who's interested, you sell the business to them, and then you retire to a small coastal town with your family and you spend the days enjoying time, eating with them and dancing and listening to music. And it's this concept of listening to it, that what this businessman is describing as the perfect ending to his story is what this fisherman's already experiencing. And it's not because he had success in business. It's because he found that balance. He found what worked for him for life and work, and he found what worked for life for him at home, and that was his balance. Now, am I saying the businessman's balance is wrong? Well, no, because that was what was important to that businessman. But it wasn't what was important to the fisherman. And the same thing's going to be the same for you. What is important to you? Decide that. Figure that out. And determine how are you going to manage that time. And where are you going to put your hours in a day? Now, with that said, you still got to take time for yourself. Maybe it's mental health. Maybe it is meditation, yoga, exercise, sleep. Sleep is important. You need this. We will talk about this in another episode. But you have to look at that time you spent on a daily basis and determine, do I really want to join another committee? Do I really want to do this with business? Do I really want to do that? Do I have enough? Or am I not spending enough of that time focusing on the relationships that matter to me at home? And you can make changes. And you can do that. And that's going to shift. All that time is going to change. So don't beat yourself up over it, but it's you got to be honest with yourself. So I hope you got something out of that. I hope maybe you can, if you're struggling with this time management situation, that maybe that helped you a little bit. And if it did, I want to know. I want to hear about it. You know, like I said, leave a review. Let me know if this helped you. Remember to subscribe, you know, and if you got questions or if you want to talk to other dads, we have a Facebook group online. If you're on Facebook, just look up Imperfect Dad MD and there's a private Facebook group there. And all you got to do is answer a couple questions and I'll accept you in there and we can chat and talk and just have a good time. Otherwise, you know, embrace the imperfection. I say this all the time, embrace your imperfections. Time management for me has been an imperfection in the past and I'm still working on that. And it's okay if it's an imperfection for you too, because you can continue to work on it. And I guarantee you the people in the situations that matter most to you, who are at the top of that list, will also recognize it and they'll thank you for it. So with that said, I'll leave it up to my wonderful son to give you the disclaimer here at the end. And I just, before I get into it, I just have to say, you know, it was great watching him do this because he was so excited to do it. And then to hear himself on the podcast once it went live, he started to tear up a little bit. And he was just so happy and so excited about this. And it's really cool as a dad to see that and share that moment with him just because I'm doing this podcast. And now I will say the one promise I made with my wife about this podcast was it would not take up time with my family. And hopefully she agrees it hasn't. If not, I'm sure she'll let me know. But otherwise, we'll see you next week, guys. Take care.
My dad, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, is a pediatrician, father, and husband. The information provided in this podcast is not meant to be medical advice and is for your education and entertainment only.